Hey everyone, we are back again this week. We're going through 1 Peter as our study here at the Grove Church in Chandler, Arizona. And we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3 today. And honestly, I probably prepared more for this than I have almost any other talk. And it may not come across like that, but the fact is I felt like this was pretty important. And I checked around, I talked to other pastors, got their input on this, and had people saying, hey, good luck with that chapter, you know, that kind of thing. But I think the good news is, from a practical standpoint, is I'm not really teaching to women at my men's group. So in a sense, it's sort of like preaching to the choir as I go through 1 Peter chapter 3. And you'll see what I mean in just a minute. Got a lot of amens and things like that as we were going through this as a group the other day. Well, let's get right down to it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives." Okay, I want to stop there just for a minute. And we're going to go through just like a little chunk at a time. We're only going to cover the first 12 chapters today of this. But, you know, it starts off in the same way. Well, what does that mean, in the same way? Peter does this. He picks up where he kind of left off, like we're supposed to know what he was talking about, you know, in the previous chapter. Well, if you go back and look in the previous chapter in 1 Peter 2, 13, he's talking about have submission to all authority. You know, so we need to submit to the king, to the government, to your employer, slaves, to masters, and all those kind of things he describes in those. So it says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then it talks about how you live your life will be an example to them. Okay, so this whole first section is to the wives. All right, let's pick up again in verse 3. Don't be concerned about the outer beauty, fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are daughters when you do what is right, without fear of what your husbands might do. So as I read this, I was thinking about my conversation that I had with our women's pastor, Crystal Richardson, here at the church. And she said, just don't let your men fall in love with the first part of this teaching. You know, husbands, you know, our wives submit to your husband's part, because there's more to come. And we're going to get to the more to come part, which is equally just as important here. In a second, but it talks about how women should be more concerned about their inner beauty than their outer beauty. And there's, you know, there's some good common sense in that too, and develop themselves spiritually as the women of old, as Sarah did, and all those kind of things. But so they should live with a gentle and quiet spirit. In other words, you know, if you're married to a non-believing husband, okay, there you have a responsibility to influence him, and to give your testimony to him through your actions, through your words, through your the way you carry yourself, and through just the peace and contentment that you have in your lives. Now, let's take a look at let me just do a quick review here before we go into the next section. What are the instructions for your wives here? The first one is live your Christian life as an example to your husband. Let your actions speak louder than words. Be more concerned with your inner beauty than your outer beauty. Have a gentle and quiet spirit. And the last one is trust the authority given to you, given to your husbands, that is from God. We have to first submit ourselves to God. And that's, wives need to do that to God first and foremost before submission to their husbands. Husbands, you need to submit to God above all else. And if you're submitting to God, there's not a wife in the world that won't do anything she can for you. She, as they say in sports, she'd run through a wall for you if you're doing everything in your responsibility that God wants you to do as a Christian man and a leader in your house. Let's go into what that looks like. Husbands, okay, verse 7 here on the screen. In the same way, okay, that's how it starts in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you husbands must honor your wives. Okay, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be the weaker than you, she may be the weaker partner than you are, but she is also your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so that your prayers will not be hindered. Well, it says she may be weaker. She may not be weaker than you. Spiritually, she's probably on the same page, if not better. A lot of, you know, women are more developed with their faith than men are. Churches around the country, at least in America, there's more women in the churches than there are men. So when you see that she is the weaker partner, what they're talking about here, if you go back and look at the actual Greek word for this, is that it's a physical weakness. They're talking about she may be smaller, may not be as strong, may not be as fast, may not be able to protect herself as well back in those days. And this was a very male-dominated society back then. It was very patriarchal. You had situations where a husband would die and the wife would, in that structure, that societal structure, the brothers were supposed to marry her, or an uncle, or somebody in the family was supposed to marry her to take care of her, okay? Because they looked at her as the weaker partner. And it talks of, you know, if you look up the word, it means needy, weak, sick, feeble, weakness, okay? There's all of these words, and I hate to almost even use these words because I know so many strong women physically. In fact, my cameraman back here has a wife who's probably as strong or stronger than he is. Am I right? Okay. So anyway, it varies from situation to situation. But we do know that they're talking about that. And women in many cases are more intellectual. They are stronger than their husband in a lot of different ways. Okay. But then it says, treat her as you should, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Okay, this is God's promise to you. Not necessarily a great promise, but a promise nonetheless for you guys that's gonna hold you up to a certain standard. If you are not honoring your wives, if you are not protecting her, if you are not sticking with her, if you are not encouraging her and treating her with understanding or treating her as you should, your prayers will not go answered. It says your prayers will be hindered or they will not be heard. Okay, this is a big promise. And why would God go out of his way to tell you, look, I'm not listening to you until, if you're married, you start treating your wife like you should. Okay, very, very great, straightforward teaching here. Now, we go and we look at Genesis. Let's go back and look at Genesis 3. Where does this all come from? It said, this is the curse that was given to Eve, okay, after in the garden where they ate the forbidden fruit, and God's kind of handing down the punishments at this point. He says, you're going to have pain in childbirth, and your desire will be to control your husband, but he will rule over you, okay? And it could be that's where this starts, and we don't know for sure, but we do know that at one point when Eve was created, she was taken from him, from a rib. You know, he brought Eve in as a helper, as a helpmeet, or whatever you want to call it. There was this. And then after the sin in the garden, we have this. Okay, now we've got a little bit of a separation here that she's going to want to control him, but he's going to rule over her. And I asked the men in a meeting the other night, how many of you have a wife that wants to control you? And many of them, yay, amen, you know. So we get that. As men, we understand that. But we also have a responsibility not to dominate our wives, but to be equal partners with them, as God mentions here. Okay, now let's go on to the final part of this. And this is written to all Christians. So we first part of this we had written to the wives, then to the husbands. Now we're talking about to all Christians. Verse 8, let's go here. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. For this is what God has called you to do, and he will grant his blessing to you. For the scriptures say this, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. So let's see, let's just do a quick review. What are we supposed to do as Christians? What are we supposed to live like? And that's what I love about Peter's. He's very practical. You read letters from Paul, and sometimes you're left there just kind of scratching your head going, what's he talking about? You know, and you need to talk to people way smarter than you to try to figure it out. But with Peter, anybody can read this and go, oh, this is what he's talking about. This is what I'm supposed to do. Okay, here's the action steps from Peter, verses 8 through 9. Number one, be of one mind. easier said than done these days, right? There's so many differences and political views and things going on in the world that as Christians, we need to really be of one mind as best we can, especially denomination to denomination and church to church. Okay, second one, have sympathy for each other, love each other, show humility to each other, don't repay evil for evil, another difficult one, and bless those who persecute you. Probably the most difficult of all of them. And this is one of Jesus's consistent teachings throughout his life. Okay, now for the scriptures say this, we're gonna go into verse 10 now. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. For the eyes of the Lord are over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. This is quite the opposite of how God reacts to those who are not honoring their wives. Okay, in this case, it says the ears and the eyes of God are open to you if you do these things. Okay, your life is going to be better, and if God's face is shining on you, you're going to be happier. That's the direct correlation here. So it says, if you want to enjoy life and see many good days, see happy days, I think all of us agree we would love to do that. What do we do for that? Okay, so here's the keys to happiness from verses 10 and 11. Don't speak evil, don't tell lies, turn from evil and do good works, and work to live at peace with others. If you live in peace with other people, your life is gonna be way happier. Most of the unhappiness and strife and anxiety and things like that in our life comes through conflict that we have in our relationship with other people, whether it's with your wife or coworkers or friendships or family members or your parents or whatever. Okay, if we can resolve those conflicts and if we can live at peace with each other the way God wants us to, we're gonna have a happy life. Men, honor your wives, okay? Women, okay, submit to your husband. And not because they deserve it, but because God has asked you to do that. And he wants you as husbands to make that super easy for her to do that. Okay, don't make things difficult. Don't lord it over her that she's supposed to submit to you. Okay, that's not what this is about. This is about you being a godly man and her wanting to follow you and submitting to that. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Look forward to seeing you next week, 1 Peter chapter 4.